Hey guys, it's Dawn. I'm back and I'm doing something a little different today. I'm actually going to talk about a true crime that just happened in August with the Watts family murders. In August of 2018, Shannon Watts, age 34 and her $2, Bella 4 and Celeste 3, which Celeste is the baby they call Cece. They were reported missing from their Frederick, Colorado home. The following day, Shannon's husband, Chris Watts, gave an interview on the porch of his family home in which he begged for his pregnant wife and daughter's safe return. If you're out there, just come back. If somebody has her, just please bring her back. I need to see everybody. I need everybody again. This house is not complete without anybody here. And you notice how this monster, he does not say, my family, my children, my wife, please bring my children home. Please bring my babies back. Please bring my pregnant wife home. No, because this guy honestly is a sick sociopath. He's a monster. He's evil. This is your prime evil. Someone who can take the lives of their two babies, three babies, should I say, because his wife was pregnant and passed the second trimester. Now, Shannon worked for a company called Lavelle from home and had just been on a trip actually that day. And she had returned, I'm saying, well, what I have read, she had returned like at 1:48 a.m. in the morning. So she had just got home. I mean, like, just got home. And here's why I'm confused. I don't know if maybe Chris already had his babies murdered and was waiting on Shannon to come home, because at 5:45 they were dead. Okay, and they had been taken from their Colorado home and in the oil field in which Chris had plotted the day before to go out on that job, told him he would work that shift so that he would have a place and whereabouts to dump his pregnant wife, Shannon, and his baby girls, Cece, Celeste, and Bella, 4 and 3 years old. Now, the funny thing is, they had been events that had been leaded up to this crime because, you know, like in months before, you could follow her story like on Facebook because she was on there every day. Like there were that, like I think it was August, she didn't post any videos. But the few months before, she went from posting like 18 videos a day, 15 videos that, to 5 videos to none. And she was always happy, outgoing. And before June or July, Chris was in every video, and then all of a sudden he's not. You would might see him in the background in a random picture or something, but he was not actively in the videos anymore. Okay, I think it was in June, okay, when she went to visit her family. Shannon went to North Carolina, her hometown, to visit her family. She didn't take her husband. He was going to come later. Now, people are saying that they don't know that if Shannon knew that he was having an affair, in which he was having an affair, the girl spoke up, and she had been caught searching the internet for wedding dresses and, you know, a lot of things to me that didn't add up or really sound right at all. That she was actually found innocent and not to have been involved in any of these malicious murders and acts of just crazy acts of weird, weird sociable activities of things that she was looking up, but she was not involved. So she was not approved to be guilty or have had anything to do with this. However, she was looking for wedding dresses and was obsessed with Chris Watts. Now, some people on the internet are trying to give this man reason for doing what he did, saying that Shannon was abusive, Shannon was violent, controlling, but never seen this in any video, any post. None of her friends knew it, but they're saying that the people who knew her best knew. And I just, to me, I don't see it. I just don't see it. Everyone talked highly of her, what a sweet person she was, and you could see in the videos just how loyal and loving that this girl was to her family and her friends and dedicated to LaVell. Now, Chris and Shannon had met on Facebook. Shannon was sick and had just got out of a bad relationship and wasn't looking for one when Chris messaged her, and they kind of hit it off. And things went from one to another, and they were getting married, they're having kids. And she was so excited to be having Nico with them, her child's name, because she said that Chris wanted a little boy. This would make their relationship stronger. However, she had texted friends right before her passing, saying that Chris was acting strange, he wasn't himself, and that he had told her he didn't want a baby. So there's a lot of strange events and turns, but what I'm feeling to understand is if Shannon was a violent or volatile person, mean person, why would you still kill your own baby? I mean, there's no excuse for this. There's no excuse for this. He admitted that he done it. He admitted to the murders, and his mom and dad was trying to convince him not to admit to the murders of the babies, just being Shannon's murder, but he admitted to all. Now, some people think that he was doing that to try to keep it from being a lengthy trial, so it would be easier on his family. And some people kind of believe that he was kind of coached into this. Now, they said that Chris was, growing up, he was just this easygoing guy, very likable. Everyone loved him. He played sports from the time he was four or five till he was 17 years old. He had no records. So this is one story that baffles me. And why would you separate your daughters in death if you've already separated them from life? I just don't get it. But it was said that he said one of the oil tanks that I'm pretty sure that he said he dropped Bella in first was shallow. So he decided to put Celeste, Cece, in the opposite tank. Now, and he went on, okay, if you're not a sociopath or a psycho, how did you work all day knowing that your family, your entire family, your wife was just right there? I just don't get people. I'm going to leave it at that and do some more. I'm reading up on this, kind of get some more ideas of how Chris is doing, his sentencing, and I will have another podcast for you soon. Got any questions, please don't hesitate to message me. Thanks for watching. Please don't forget to subscribe. Share my podcast, please. Follow me on Instagram at DreamaDawnDJ and on YouTube at Dawn Manson and the One Soul Family. That's right. Dawn Manson and the One Soul Family. Hey, guys. It's me, Dawn. I'm back. Okay. We all know on Monday, August the 13th, was the morning that Shannon had returned home from her trip with LaVell. Her friend, Nicole Atkins, one of Shannon's closest friends, had told ABC she contacted the police on Monday, August the 13th, around noon, because that morning she had actually dropped Shannon off at her house just several hours earlier, like around 1:45, 2 a.m. And then after the two returned from, it was after the two had returned from a business trip together, she was 15 weeks pregnant and wasn't responding to any of her friends' messages. So, you know, and she knew that she had sugar and she had some other medical conditions, so she kind of got worried. And Shanann had also missed a doctor's appointment that morning. Atkins had also called Chris, which is Shanann's husband, who had told her not to worry about it and that his wife had taken the girls to on a play date. But I also had learned that he had gave multiple stories on this. And all he could say was, he just kept quoting. He just kept saying that he didn't know where she was and that she was on a play date. But he couldn't give a name of the friend. That's what Atkins said, Atkinson. And then when she told Chris that she was calling the police for a welfare check, he decided he was going to come home too, I guess maybe to kind of cover his tracks. And what looked funny was inside the house, they found Shanann's purse and keys, but she and the girl were nowhere to be found. She and the girls, nowhere. Okay, the shoes she always wore, still there. Her phone was there. And, you know, the cop even said that that's unusual, but her phone was there, turned off. It wasn't dead. It was fully charged. It was turned off. And everyone knows this is Shanann's lifeline because you could follow her Facebook page. And, like, she was there all the time. It was her lifeline. So that's just not feasible. I mean, it doesn't even look right. It doesn't sound right. And on Tuesday, August the 14th, is when Chris actually pled for his family's return with a TV crew from Denver 7. He had confirmed that Shanann had gotten back from a business trip at 2 a.m. on Monday and said that he went to work around 5:15 a.m. and hadn't seen her. He did add, but he would not tell what it was about. He didn't say it was a fight. He just said that he and his wife had an emotional conversation before she disappeared, but he didn't elaborate. Okay, and then a Frederick Police Department official had told Denver 7 that law enforcement arrested Chris just after midnight on Thursday. He was charged with 3 counts of first-degree murder and 3 counts of tampering with evidence. Now, the cop that came in on the first day to investigate had automatically caught Chris in a bunch of lies. His actions were totally off. Like, you comfort yourself when you're lying or you're scared. Like, that's why he put his hands on his head, because of his heartbeat, to try to control his sweating. But that didn't work. You could tell from his body language he was ready to get the hell out of that place. It's just one of those things to where you just can't figure out what is going through the person's mind at all. You can't read their mind. Like, you want to know what the hell he was thinking at this time, but, I mean, that's just something that we're really never going to be able to understand. Okay, on Thursday, at a press conference later that day, police said they found the body of a woman they believed to be Shanann on the property of Watt's former employer, Anadarko Petroleum Corporation, and the girls' bodies were reportedly recovered later that day. And according to CNN, account filing from the prosecutor says that Shanann's body was recovered from a shallow grave near an oil tank. Shallow grave. And a 15-week pregnant mother. He didn't even have the diligence, the respect to put the girls with their mom in death. Hell, he didn't even put them together in death, as I said in the previous first part. Law enforcement had recovered the bodies of the defendant's 2 daughters from inside oil tanks located near the grave of their mother. An affidavit obtained later that day by CNN also revealed police had found Shanann's body when they used a drone to survey the fields and saw a bed sheet near the oil tank. Okay, so this guy was constantly making mistakes. He had planned this up, but evidently it was not well thought of. I mean, come on now. You know, it was premeditated. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to cover your tracks. I mean, you don't leave a sheet lay. I mean, in an oil field, come on. You know, he should have known up there. And the sheet had matched a pattern of several pillowcases and a top sheet recovered from a kitchen trash can from the family home, actually, earlier. I believe they found those earlier that day. But on Monday, August the 20th, police had released Chris's arrest affidavit in which he admits to killing Shanna Ann and claims she strangled their daughters. So now, after admitting to everything, you know, like, he's going to say that she's the one that killed their daughters when she had just got home and he has been the one with the children. I mean, come on. In his arrest affidavit released on Monday, Chris claimed that he went into rage and strangled Shannon after he saw her strangling one of the daughters on a baby monitor. Chris told police that after she got back from her business trip at 2 a.m., that he told Shannon he had been having an affair with a coworker and that he wanted to separate, which Shannon had already known this because in previous videos that she posted on YouTube, she didn't come straight out and say it, but she had made it clear that she kind of knew something was going on. And he told her that he wanted to separate. So he had denied having an affair in previous police interviews, and the police done two-day investigations and confirmed that he was actively involved in an affair with a co-worker before the murders. And he said that he saw Shannon on the baby monitor strangling their three-year-old daughter, Celeste, Cece, and that when he ran into the girl's room, he saw Bella, already deceased, sprawled out on the bed, and was already blue. That's when he says he strangled his wife to death before loading all three bodies onto the back of the seat of his work truck. Okay, this doesn't make sense. You know, yeah, he would have been charged with his wife's death, but if he would have called the police and told them, you know, this is what happened, it would have become more believable if this was even close to the truth, which doesn't sound right at all. Because, I mean, how can you just throw your kids' body away, even if you did kill your wife because of what she done, how could you just throw your kids' body away and then work all day like nothing happened? They're not here, just a few feet away from where you're working all day. I mean, and it was August the 20th when Chris had confessed to the murder of his wife, but not of daughters, Bill and Celeste. In fact, he blamed their murders on Shannon, which is, it's so far-fetched. It's just crazy. He was charged with a total of 9 criminal counts on Monday, 3 counts of first-degree murder, 2 separate counts of first-degree murder for killing a child under the age of 12, 3 counts of tampering with a body, and 1 count of first-degree unlawful termination of a pregnancy. That baby had a heartbeat. That was just cold-blood murder. And also, what they didn't want you to know was the couple was reportedly now struggling financially, but you can look at their home and I mean, it didn't seem to be, but they had nice vehicles. And that was another thing. Her car was still in the parking garage. The door was still locked from the inside, the front door of the house. The car seats were still in the car. So that didn't even make sense. According to court dockets, Chris and Shannon had filed for bankruptcy in 2015 and were about $70,000 in debt. Shannon also had said that a civil suit said they owed, I think it was $1,533 and some odd cents to their homeowners association in Colorado. this story just has a lot of missing strings, which can be took in 2 different ways, in fact, however how you want to believe. If you want to believe what he says, and you listen to his parents, it kind of starts to make you believe that, because you want to believe that, that you don't want to believe that someone is that vicious, that nasty, that evil. But it doesn't add up. None of it adds up. And the Will County District Attorney, Michael Rourke, he's not releasing many details of the case against Watch and has said it is too early to know whether the state will press for the death penalty. Okay, hey guys, I'm back. I got a phone call and it got me cut off. But on November the 19th, Christopher Watts was sentenced to life in prison. The Associated Press had reported that Watts was sentenced to three consecutive life sentences on November 19th, 2 weeks after pleading guilty to the murders of his two daughters and pregnant wife. Again, he said and admitted he had done it. He done it. But his family is wanting to believe the other story that he didn't kill his daughters. But I guess when you are trying to protect your child, you love them regardless. This was just months after his arrest. Watts pled guilty to 9 felony charges relating to the murders, and at the sentencing hearing, Shannon Watts' father said to Watts, "I trusted you to take care of them, not to kill them. Prison is too good for you. Prison is too good for you." Now, I kind of think to myself that what's going to happen to Chris is when his name gets out and these people in prison find out what he did, I don't think he'll last too long in there. Whether it be him take his own life or they do it, because this seems to just be what happened. And that's when the sentence hearing had also revealed how they died, that Watts had strangled his wife and smothered his two daughters. Watts previously claimed that he only killed his wife after discovering that his daughters were dead. "This is perhaps the most inhumane and vicious crime that I have handled out of the thousands of cases I've seen," is what the judge had said of the Colorado's 19th Judicial District Court. "Nothing less than a maximum sentence would be appropriate." I mean, come on. Okay, he said he's seen Shannon strangling. Autopsy shows that they were, in fact, smothered. So, right there tells you we're never going to get the full truth behind the story. His parents may get it out of him later. That's why they were wanting to keep him alive, to kind of get some closure to Shannon's family and friends, which is a horrible, horrible, horrible thing to have to go through. And I want to take time to remember all of Shannon's family and friends, loved ones that are mourning her death still to this day, because it doesn't get any easier. And those babies, just what, you know, they could have been our next president. Life taken too early. I would like to know what gives someone else the right to think that they can just decide to take someone else's life. This is something that's always entered my mind. It's always come across my mind. What do people think when they're doing this, especially to your own family, your own kids? And little Bella, or was it Cece, one of the little girls in a video had said her daddy was her hero. She actually even sang a song. Bella, I'm pretty sure, had sang a song that her daddy was her hero. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Oh, and I wanted to add, Chris Watts gets mail on the daily. Within 2 days after him being incarcerated in prison, he was receiving fan mail, love letters. So there are people out there that love this kind of thing. And this is what attracts them. I have no clue what's in their brain. But he's not too lonely if he decides to answer the letters. But anyway, thanks for watching, guys. I'll update this story as I find out more about it. Follow me on YouTube at Dawn Manson and the One Soul Family. Instagram at Dream of Dawn DJ. That's right. At Dream of Dawn DJ. Thanks, guys, for listening. Send me a message and let me know if I've left out anything, or if there's anything about this crime that you would love for me to find out for you. I would love to do this. So please, guys, share my podcast and visit frequently. I'll try to post new content weekly. And I really appreciate you guys taking the time out to talk with me. Peace out, fam. Love you all.